everybody here today. This is the moment you have been waiting for. Please give a big cheer for the one and only Alistair.
Thank you. Wow, wow, wonderful. Okay, you can stop now. Thank you. What a great introduction. I normally never get an introduction like that. But actually, do you know what? There's no need for me to have an introduction like that. But normally, you might see things like that for important people. So maybe the Prime Minister, if the Prime Minister's coming past and everyone's cheering. Or what about King Charles III? If you saw King Charles III, lots of people might be cheering and clapping. Or on TV, this year, we had a big thing called the Olympic Ceremony. It was for lots of the best sporting people in the world at the Olympics. And that opening ceremony in Paris, in France, was a few weeks ago. But there's another one tomorrow, because there's a thing called the Paralympics, which follows on Olympics. And these opening ceremonies are when the sports people get a chance to parade on TV and in front of all the people, and they'll have a special outfit for their country, they'll be carrying the country's flag, and there'll be loads and loads of people all cheering and clapping to see these amazing sporting people. And these people are the people who are going to then compete in the games, they're going to run the races, they're going to throw the javelin, all that sort of thing. Well, in our true story today, from the Bible, we're going to see another opening ceremony. We're here at Race for Your Life. So I think we need a track, don't we, if we're going to have Race for Your Life. Let's put the brake on there. But this is the opening ceremony for the Race for Your Life with Jesus, which we're going to be learning about all this week. Look, there's a crowd already there cheering, just like the people would in the Olympic opening ceremony. But this opening ceremony is different. This one isn't for lots of sports people. It's not for lots of prime ministers and people like that, or just other crowds. This opening ceremony, we find out about it in a book in here. So this book is a book called the Bible, and it's full of lots of other books, smaller books inside it, and it tells us all true things about God and his Son and things like that. And we were learning from one of the books in here today. Can anyone remember what it was called? Yes. Nope, that wasn't the name of the book. It was called Luke. It was written by a man called Luke. Good try, though. Excellent try. Now, and it's written all about one man. It's written about a man who is a king. So, right at the very beginning of our racetrack, let's just put this up here. Ooh, it's going to stick up. There we go. We've got a crown, because there's a king in this race here. Now, what do kings look like? Any ideas? Yes. They wear a big ring, a crown, and fancy stuff. Yes.
Royal.
They're royal, yes. We'll come to him later. We'll come to him later. Yes? A cloak. Yeah, 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 yeah. You're right. So I've got a picture of this man here. Let me stand out of the way. Can anyone see that and tell me who they think that is? Yes, over here. Yeah, it's King Charles III. And you can see he's got his crown. He's got his fancy robe. He's carrying an orb thing and a stick, fancy stick. Maybe it's for throwing for a dog later. I don't know. No, not really. So, that's King Charles, but this king here has a name too. His name is Jesus. So there we go. So we've got Jesus the King on the track there at the beginning. But this king doesn't look like this king. This king doesn't have a fancy crown on your head. If you remember in the drama what the king looked like, he didn't have fancy clothes. He didn't have loads of guards like this guy would have. He just had some friends following him, and he hasn't even got any fancy transport. He's walking. Where are we? Let's put him there. And yet, Jesus the King, well, he's the greatest of all time. But he doesn't look anything like all the fancy stuff over here, yet he's the greatest of all time. Well, Jesus the King is going to Jerusalem, and Granny told us that that is the king's city. But how's anyone going to know that he's a king if he doesn't look like that one? Well, Jesus has a plan for this big opening ceremony. Now, I imagine the Olympic opening ceremonies probably take months, maybe even years of planning, and they must be very, very complicated. But Jesus's plan is quite simple. He sends two of his friends to go and get a colt. Can anyone remember what a colt is? Yes. Yeah, it's a young donkey. So he goes, sends his friends to go and get a young donkey for him to ride. This is his plan, to ride on a young donkey into Jerusalem.
I know that story.
Yeah, we heard it earlier. Now, I don't know about you, but that might seem a little bit strange. You see, when King Charles was made king at his coronation is a bit like an opening ceremony. Just imagine if he arrived to his coronation on a scooter. It's not right, is it? It just wouldn't make sense. Let's put him up there. That's not what we expect, is it? We'd be very surprised if we saw that on TV. Yeah. But you see, Jesus, he's riding on this young donkey, and he does it for a reason. And you'll find out that Jesus, he often does things that we don't expect. Now, over 500 years before Jesus was born, God spoke to a man called Zechariah. And he told him to write down in this book, not the book of Luke this time in the Bible, but another book called Zechariah. He told him to write down what he said. And in this book, it says that one day God is going to send his promised king, and that king would arrive into Jerusalem on a colt, a young donkey. So you see, when the people see Jesus riding into the city on the young donkey, they'd remember what's been written in the Bible all that long time ago. And they'd know that Jesus is God's promised king. It's a king they've been waiting for. You see, Jesus' plan does make sense. He's showing that he is God's promised king. Well, Jesus' friends, they got some cloaks, and they put them over the donkey before he got on the donkey, so he could sit on those, and then he rode into Jerusalem. The opening ceremony has begun. Now, our King Charles, he went to Paris. I don't know whether he went for the Olympics, but he went about a year ago. And when he arrived, he got out of the plane. What do you think the people did for him? Any ideas? Sorry? They cheered. Yes, they would have been cheering. Yep. Throw flowers at him. I don't think they did, but I've got a picture here of what they did do. They rolled out a red carpet for him to walk along. Now, they only do this for very important people. You might have noticed when I came down the front, nobody rolled out a red carpet for me. That's fine, I don't mind. Now, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem, all the people there, they were cheering. And do you remember what they put on the ground? Was it a red carpet?
Their cloaks,
yeah, they put their cloaks on the ground, didn't they? Here we go. So they put their cloaks on the ground so that Jesus would ride along those cloaks. And that showed how important they thought Jesus was. And they shouted praise to God for all the amazing and powerful things that they'd already seen Jesus do. You see, they know that he's God's promised king. Well, King Charles didn't go to his coronation on his own. He didn't go on a scooter. He went in the Diamond Jubilee stagecoach. There it is. So that's him on his way. He hasn't got his crown on yet because he hasn't been made king on his way. And on the way back, he came back in a gold state carriage. Here it is. So it's a bit small there, but actually, look, can you see? There's all these other soldiers with him. You see, they had over 4,000 troops marching with him. And then lots of other troops were lining the route, providing guards of honor. They were carrying flags. There were troops performing gun salutes all over the country. There were 19 military bands playing in the parade, and 68 military aeroplanes flew over London. What an incredible display of power and of authority. I mean, if he just turned up on a scooter, you wouldn't think he was a very powerful king, would you? But, you know, but here you can see he commands all this massive military army. But Jesus, over here, he's much greater than King Charles. And when he went into Jerusalem, the king's city, on a donkey with some friends, he didn't have the big, mighty army with him. Well, we know that riding the donkey showed that Jesus was God's promised king, as written in the book, in the Bible, the book called Zechariah. But God also says in that same book that his promised king is coming to bring peace to all nations, all countries. Now, in those days, if a king arrived on a mighty horse, you would be really worried, because that means they've come for a fight. They've come for war. But if a king arrives on a donkey, that means there's nothing to worry about. It meant that he didn't come to fight or have a war. Instead, he was coming in peace to bring peace to the people. Now, maybe when two people are fighting, maybe that happens in your house. Maybe you've got a brother or a sister and you do a bit of fighting. Or sometimes countries fight each other. Then often someone will go and talk to them to try and persuade them to stop fighting. So if it's you and your brother or sister fighting at home, maybe a grown-up comes along and tries to stop you and tell you not to do that anymore, to not be enemies anymore, and to be at peace with one another. Well, that's just in our little house, isn't it? But maybe two countries are fighting. Well, that's a bit bigger. But Jesus brings peace on an even bigger scale. You see, remember, he's the greatest of all time. So he's not just doing this between two countries or two people. He's bringing peace between the whole world and God, so that the whole world can have peace with God. You see, the people might not have realized it, but they were actually enemies with God because of the way they lived. And they needed peace between them and God. And only Jesus, the King, can bring this peace to them. Only then can they be friends with God instead of enemies. Well, we're going to find out later this week how Jesus does this. And as usual, he doesn't do it in the way we would expect. Now, you might have noticed I've said a lot today, Jesus is the greatest of all time. But you might have heard other people called this before, the greatest of all time. So, anyone know who this might be here? Any ideas? Taylor Swift. Any Taylor Swift fans here? Yeah. A few Swifties in the house? Yeah? Ah, no, this is Taylor Swift. She's a big singer and very famous. And a lot of people, she's got a lot of fans all around the world, people who follow her. And they say she is the greatest of all time when it comes to music. But do you know what? One day, shock horror, there will be someone who is greater than her. Can you believe it? I know, but it's true. Now, in the Olympics, because we've got a sporting theme here, there's another lady here. You might not know this lady's name. Anyone know? Oh, yeah, straight in there. Brilliant, Simone Biles, excellent. So she is considered to be the greatest gymnast of all time. This month at the Olympics, she won 3 gold medals and 1 silver medal, and she already has 7 other Olympic medals. Anyway, she's also won 30 world championship medals as well. And she's got lots of fans, just like Taylor Swift has. Maybe not quite as many as Taylor Swift. But she's got lots of fans who follow her as well. And she may well be the greatest gymnast of all time at the moment. But one day, someone else will come along and do even better. And then she won't be the greatest of all time anymore. Well, Jesus is a bit different because Jesus really, truly, absolutely is the greatest of all time. There will never, ever be anyone who is greater or better than him. He's God's promised king who comes to bring peace between the whole world and God. That's the best thing ever. That's better than even all of these medals along here, which might look impressive, but that is way, way better. You see, the sports people, they compete to win medals, to beat their own best records, or maybe even Olympic records or world records. But they're doing it mostly for themselves, or maybe for their country. But here's another surprising thing about Jesus. He didn't come to do this for himself. He did it for us, for all of you. He did it for me, to bring peace between all of us and God. Now, at the start of the Olympics this year, some people set fire to the equipment that helps run the trains in France because they wanted to stop the trains running and then stop the people, therefore, getting to the Olympic ceremony to celebrate the sports people. They didn't want that opening ceremony to happen. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, not everyone was cheering and praising God for him either. There were some religious leaders and teachers of the law who really were not happy with Jesus. They don't want Jesus to be their king, and he doesn't want the peace that Jesus brings them. Well, later this week, we're going to find out what they get up to try and stop Jesus. But maybe that's how you feel about Jesus. Maybe you don't want him to be your king. Maybe you don't yet know who Jesus is. We've got our racetrack over here, and we're going to be using this all this week. So I'm going to put up a person here looking at Jesus' crown with a question mark on, figuring out, well, who is Jesus? Or perhaps you do already know who Jesus is. And so we'll have a man here who knows who Jesus is. Look, he's looking at the crown and he's happy. And maybe that person, well, they're like the crowd, cheering and praising God for Jesus the King who brings peace to us. And that's a good thing, to have peace with God and live with Jesus as our King. Well, if that's the case, then celebrate Jesus at this opening ceremony, God's King who brings us peace. But this is just the start. In fact, look, here is the start. This is just the beginning. We haven't even got to the starting point yet. There is a race to be run with King Jesus as King. And now we all know who Jesus is. So we can find out more about this race in the next few days. But you're going to have to wait a little bit longer for that, till tomorrow.